Thanks for listening to the Last Days podcast with Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes. To stay connected, please check out the River of Tri-Cities Church on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or online at riveroftricities.com. The Last Days podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, here's Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes.
Okay, and so part of discipline is, how much time do you spend doing unproductive things? Let me ask you that. How much time do you spend doing unproductive things? Okay. There you go.
Great.
Think about
question.
That.
Great question.
Okay. And so another question I would ask you then is, do you overschedule yourself? Mm-hmm. Because if you overschedule yourself, that's not a good discipline either. Okay. And you're not being efficient with the time that you have. Mm-hmm. You can't overschedule yourself. You can schedule yourself up, mm-hmm. but when you overschedule yourself, you really hurt yourself, okay? And so don't do unproductive things. Don't overschedule yourself. Learn how to say the word no, okay?
Right.
It's not just discipline to say, yes, I'll do that, I'll work this, I'll do, but sometimes you have to say no.
Right.
And it's okay to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard. When you want to accomplish more, you have to learn the most important things to do.
Right.
That's discipline right there.
Right.
Instead of doing unimportant things, I want to do the most important things. Mm-hmm. Do you, if you're wanting to have your own ministry or you're wanting to have your own business, do you actually have time to do that? Will you set time aside to actually grow what you have, where you just look at it and go like, oh, I'm overwhelmed with how big this is or all of my obligations or everything I'm looking at. But you have to have time to actually grow something. That takes discipline. Putting yourself into it, saying, I will spend time. I will develop this. I will do this thing. I'm in the midst of right now recording video classes for our Bible college, taking hours and hours, just like an immense amount of time. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, and I know, you know, there's so many other things that need to be done, but you have to come to a time where you realize, okay, this is a priority because this is a goal that has to be achieved, and not just for right now, but this will go on for time and eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm investing in something more eternal, and so I'm causing things with the time that I'm investing right now. I'm causing things to go forward. A question with your time and how effective you are in being disciplined and everything like that is, you want to go forward as a child of God, and is what you are doing, is that adversely affecting you spiritually? Because you want the blessing of the Lord upon you. The blessing of the Lord,
right,
makes rich, adds no sorrow to it. And if you are doing things and your spiritual life is being adversely affected, then understand that's going to affect every part of your life. And things will begin to crash around you. Discipline is having boundaries. You have to have boundaries. Do you have discipline if you're married, with your family, is your lack of discipline causing your family or your marriage to pay a price that it shouldn't have to because you're not disciplined?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I can't just say, well, I'm a pastor, and so I can do whatever I want to. I'm a, you know, head of the house, head of the church, whatever. No. I still have to have discipline. And if I live an undisciplined life, it's going to affect my wife.
Mm-hmm.
If I live an undisciplined life, it's going to affect my children. If I live an undisciplined life, it's going to come out in my church also.
Right.
And you're going to see actually undisciplined people in the congregation.
Right.
And you see people running around there doing whatever they want to do and everything like that. You know, I think for the most part, our church is some pretty, pretty incredible people.
Absolutely.
And they accomplish incredible things.
Right.
And so the thing is that you have to have discipline, though, to be able to go forward. And if God has given you a vision, to be able to accomplish the vision, you're going to have discipline.
Right. And the best way really to see that implemented in all areas of your life is that it is on a daily basis in your own personal life. That's where you start it at. Mm-hmm. You know, when we have had people that even have wanted to lead and or oversee different areas of ministry or departments, or, you know, ahead of, they might be in a volunteer capacity, but if they're overseeing other volunteers or whatever, the ones that succeed and do great at that are always the ones who are, have that structure within their personal life. When they don't have that, and it's like, you know, their kids are just running everywhere. They have no routine with their kids. Everything is like, they go from one chaotic thing to another. Their car is a mess. I mean, there's just, you know, they themselves look a mess, whatever. That literally, if you cannot manage yourself and your own personal life, you will not be able to manage anything else. And sometimes people fool themselves by thinking, oh, well, it's not a big deal. You know, they actually say even just start with things like making your bed every day, which again, I know I've mentioned this before,
yep,
but it just kind of came to, you know, I just saw another statistic about even that, you know, they say that people that make their bed have like a 200% more of a chance of even becoming a millionaire than people that don't.
And you just might think, by making your bed.
Yes, right. You know, you're so much farther ahead. You know, people are like, oh, no, that's just so dumb. I mean, why would I make it? I'm going to get back in it tonight. Again, it's just an indicator of something, that a routine of discipline that you actually do every day, regardless of what you feel like, regardless of what the weather is, whether you slept in late, whether you're running late, whatever it is, you still stick to that discipline. And it's amazing how, you know, you can walk into a room, and even if everything else isn't in order, when the bed is made and the pillows are put up nicely and everything, it instantly brings order to the thing. And what happens is that you do one thing that brings order and that, you know, looks nice, and actually you realize, oh, this didn't even take me hardly any time at all. Okay, let me go ahead and pick up those pair of pants off the floor, or the underwear off the fan, or whatever you've thrown stuff, whatever you have done, you know, my socks and my shoes. No. But it will translate actually to other areas of your life, not just things that you think, okay, well, nobody's going to see my bed, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, but the thing is that people actually will see other areas of your life, and if you're sloppy in one, it's going to carry over, and you're sloppy in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're sloppy in other areas, it stops you from being promoted actually in an area. So sometimes people don't realize again how much, again, that just the structure and the discipline that you put in your life will actually carry over. When you dress nice, and it doesn't, I'm not talking about it has to be fancy and you have to spend a whole bunch of money on your clothes. No, you just do the best with what you've got. You carry yourself differently. You conduct yourself differently. You people look at you and go, yeah, that's someone who has it together. That's who I want working for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I want promoted. Oh, I see that they're here on time, or they're here early every single time or whatever. Okay, I can't do without that type of person. The way that they put things in order, because when there is order and structure, you can have a flow of the Holy Spirit. If everything is just like out of order and chaotic or whatever, then you can't have that. And that's, I think, what people miss out on so much. They can't step into higher things that the Lord has for them because, again, they won't just do the small things that you view as unimportant, but they're foundational things that actually lead you to be able to step into greater things.
Amen. So true. You know, in the book of Titus, it talks about in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, your duty is to teach them to embrace a lifestyle that is consistent with sound doctrine. Now, I'm reading this out of the Passion Translation, by the way. That lifestyle that's consistent with sound doctrine. Lead the male elders into disciplined lives full of dignity and self-control. Urge them to have a solid faith, generous love, and patient endurance. Verse 5 says, likewise with the female elders. Okay? And so the same type of things have to be in the men and the women. So you can't say, all right, well, this is what maybe should be in guys as leaders, but, you know, ladies as leaders also.
Oh, yeah.
You need to have a very disciplined life, and it's so very important to be able to have that in your life so that people look at you and they see a pattern.
Right.
Patterns are what cause discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is how things are run. And if you didn't have discipline, you can really accomplish nothing.
That's true.
Nothing at all. And that's why there's a lot of lives that people live long lives and they never accomplished much.
That's true.
It's because of a lack of discipline.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know even where to begin with discipline. Mm-hmm. Start off with something that you know this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're listening to this and you're like, I don't even know what God's plan is, definitely for my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, even if you don't know what God's plan is, what is something very good that you know, no matter who looks at it, everybody's going to say, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do that and would you stick with it? Say, this is going to be a part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to develop this as a believer. How about the discipline of prayer?
Right.
How about the discipline of reading the word? How about the discipline of thankfulness? Of being thankful for what you've got. Of, you know, telling people thank you. Oh
right.
My gosh.
Right.
Even the...
It's like a lost thing. These
it
days.
Is. I'm really shocked at the young people coming up today in the world who you do something for them and really you do something that
you didn't have to do
at all. And they know it, but they still don't even say thank you for it.
Right.
They just look at you like, oh yeah, you should have done that. I guess you were going to do that. And so I don't need to be thankful. And honestly, they haven't been taught well.
Yeah,
it's
that
a
goes
failure
back to the parents,
of parenting.
For sure.
A failure in parenting. And so that's very sad. But if you don't start discipline in your life, and it's not easy, and it doesn't feel good.
No.
It's like get out of bed in the morning, set a time, and make yourself get out of bed. You say, well, I don't have anything to do. Get out of bed anyway.
We'll give you something to do.
Find something
to
do. Find something to do. Come and ask, what
you
can
need,
I do?
Yes, you need a reason to get out of bed.
You
and,
do.
And you need something that you're going to accomplish every single day.
Hey, and let me talk to the evangelists out there also. Okay? You just kind of hit and miss with your schedule and everything like that. I want to tell you, the majority of you are lazy. Okay? The majority of evangelists are lazy. Okay? Because they don't have discipline. They'll preach when they have... when they have meetings and they'll get up and they'll do this and everything like that. But the majority of them, if they don't have something that they just absolutely are having to prepare for this and be out somewhere and everything else, if they don't have like a solid schedule, I want to tell you, most of them have lives that are just like piddly. Mm-hmm. And they accomplish little to nothing.
And that's why their ministries remain so small.
That is exactly right. You'll find if you are an evangelist and you will kick it in the butt, and you will be disciplined in your life, you could have a phenomenal ministry. It would grow. But if you stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning watching Netflix, if you don't get up until 11 o'clock in the morning or whatever time, you don't have the discipline of being in the Word, of developing messages, of developing series, and you know, all kinds of things. Go big, even if you don't have time. Pastor Rodney, I remember when he didn't have a lot of meetings. He first came over to the United States, and you know, he didn't know there wasn't a lot of meetings or anything like that. That's when he wrote the book, The Touch of God.
Right.
I mean, because he had it inside of him. It was just, when are the doors going to open? And now, you know, my gosh, you know, he's got books coming out, but they are from things that he has ministered, and they're taking the books from his teachings, right, and everything like that. But in the days when he was just, you know, hours and days in the motel room, oh, what are you going to do? You're going to do nothing? You're just going to sleep in? Going to watch TV? No, I'm going to write a book. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep writing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the devil pay. And so that's what you need to do. Develop a disciplined life. Now, if you are an evangelist out there and you're like upset at me right now, just get glad in the same pants you got mad in. And just like, hey, I've got a disciplined life. Don't take it personally. I wasn't referring to you, obviously. Okay. But the thing is that there are many people who don't do that. I know them. Right. I know personally.
Yes.
They're slack. And
there are some lazy pastors, I would say, too.
There are very lazy pastors.
Yeah, that like, yeah, all they do is they have one service a week, and they literally just study for that one message all week. And it's not even that great of a message, so I don't even know what they did. But anyway.
Amen.
Not the majority. If you're actually doing the work of a pastor, I mean, we are just continuing to like believe in God even to multiply our time and everything, because you realize
time
is such a gift. This day that you've been given is a gift. Like, what are you going to do with it? You've got to squeeze everything, make the most effectiveness really come out of the time that you have. And so therefore, when you have the structure of, okay, these are the things that we need to accomplish this week, and then break it down by days, and this is when we have appointments, and you know, we very much work with definitely a schedule and the discipline of it. And at the same time, it's ministry and unforeseen things come up. Most days there's some, you know, unexpected
always
thing, right? And so we've got to have the flexibility to be able to adjust and, you know, and go with that. And, you know, obviously you gain a natural wisdom and stuff, but if we would not have implemented the structure within our daily life, again, we couldn't even be trusted with what we have today. And of course, we don't at all think that we've arrived. We're still always, you know, honing and bettering ourselves and working on skills and all that kind of stuff, so that we can be entrusted with more. But this is a key thing that I think that a lot of times people miss out on. And again, it hinders you from being able to have greater and do greater things.
Absolutely. And so if you live a disciplined life, daily life, in your daily life, you have a discipline. Then for the next thing, which is not the exact opposite, but then you're able to take risks.
Yes.
And you can take some significant risks, and you can have a lot of fun doing that also. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that's the next point. Take risks and have a lot of fun. And people think, whoa, really? Yeah. Yeah. You should be able to, you should be able to step out in faith and to do the ridiculous.
Yes.
So that you can see the miraculous.
Yes.
And a lot of times young people coming up, they're afraid to take a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Wow. You know, what will this do? You know, and you get too used to the comfortable side of things, mm-hmm, because you've been nurtured maybe for most of your life. Being around your parents and, you know, people doing other things, people doing things for you. And it's time to step out of the boat. It's time to go big.
Yes.
And understand that it's not scary. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I started at a younger age traveling all over the world. And I had some of the most amazing time. I was single. I wish I would have been married now, because I would have had even better time.
Mm.
But I want to tell you, get out of town.
Yes.
Stop.
Oh, for sure.
Stop just limiting your experience to just around where you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
Go explore. Do great things for God. Get a fire inside of you and run with that fire.
Yes.
And have fun as you're doing it.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of times people don't even realize that God is like super fun. He's the creator of fun. And so if you just ask him, Lord, I need an adventure, or I want to do something fun. I need someone to a friend that I could do fun things or whatever. I mean, the Lord provides all these things. Trust me, we have prayed these prayers and we have seen the Lord answer in such a big way. And we feel like we've been so blessed, you know, the places that we've been able to go to, the things that we've been able to do. And really, if we sat and wrote down all those things, I think all of them, really, the Lord provided for in a miraculous way. Like, we just believed him for it, and he just did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very amazing. Obviously, there are some, you know, smaller things that, you know, might be a little adventuresome or whatever that maybe you had the money to. But I'm talking about like amazing things and other places and with, you know, great people. And what came out of those is just amazing. The relationships, the people that we met, that we have, you know, we have many relationships in our life that are, you know, decades, you know, old. And we're always, you know, meeting new people and you know, getting more friends, which is, you know, super awesome and everything. But anything great that you're going to attain, you have to take a risk to get that.
Yeah, you do.
So don't be like, you know, sometimes people just think so small and they're so stuck in their ways. Even if they're younger, they'll be like, oh, I'm just an old soul.
No,
you know what? The Lord is the Ancient of Days, but he's not an old soul. Okay. And he lives on the inside of you.
That's a good word. He does. He lives big inside of you.
Right. So let him out. Like, the, you know, this, your spirit man on the inside, like, loves to be stretched, loves to, like, you know, go and, you know, meet new places and use you in new ways, unexpected things. And it's just great for personal development. I mean, there's so many people that literally just stay home and are on, you know, a gaming system or on their phone or whatever, and they don't even like hardly get out to like drive or do anything.
Very
it's
true.
Crazy to me.
So get out of your house, get out of town. Don't just go for a drive. I mean, go for a fly. I mean, do something exciting.
Yeah,
do something, I mean, you've never done before.
Right.
Not just what you're comfortable with. Do something adventurous. And I mean, we love doing things. You take risks and everything,
yes,
like that. Our
absolutely.
Family, we go out whitewater rafting, and my wife skydiving. I didn't skydive; she did. Not that I couldn't have, but I just, you know, she was with another friend, mm-hmm. and so
super,
you know,
cool.
It's, yeah, incredible things. You have to take risks, though.
Yes.
And before I was married, I took a whole lot more risks than what I take now. I took a lot of risks before I was married. Did some absolutely crazy, crazy stuff. Did a lot of cliff climbing and without, you know, just solo.
Even the places you went to.
The places, yeah.
You really were risking your life. But the awesome thing is though, you just follow the Holy Ghost. So you'll know on the inside if you shouldn't be doing something. You don't do dumb stuff and override the Holy Spirit. You know, you actually follow the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And you check in, you know, with him. But it's just important that you're not all growth, actually, personal growth and growth in the callings and the giftings or whatever. You have to take a risk. And if you think about it, Jesus took such a risk on you.
On you. Mm-hmm.
And on me. Right? I mean, he was willing to lay down his life, even if we never accepted him, if nothing that, you know, if everything that he did, we never applied any of it. He still was willing to take that risk. So why do we hold back? Especially like there'll be people in what God has called them to do, and they won't risk offending people. They won't risk going to a new place. They won't risk stepping out and allowing God to use them in a new spiritual gifting or a new way or anything like that. Stop holding back. Allow God to actually flow and work through you.
Amen.
And be willing to like take a risk again and pray those big prayers and believe the Lord for big things. He absolutely is found in the impossibilities. That's what he's the God of the impossibility.
Absolutely. And so as you're doing that, it's not, I mean, you might start off doing something risky, scared, but you're going to wind up liking it.
Yes.
You're going to have fun. It's going to take you to another level of adventure. I read back before I started traveling to the nations and preaching all over the place. I read John G. Lake's book, Adventures in God. Mm. And I was just determined that is what it's going to be for me. I'm going to have adventures in God. And I want to tell you, that was the beginning of the most amazing stuff. And it's never ended.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues to be an adventure with God. But you have to take a risk. You're either going to take a risk or you're going to get all rusty. So you have to do that. Anytime you're going to do great, something incredible, something great, you're going to have to take a risk. No doubt about it whatsoever.
And you're going to end up with something that nobody else has the, or a few people anyway, can even have those stories to talk about.
Yeah, the experience,
about.
The story.
Yeah. I mean, and it just, it adds like so much of a richness to your life. And, you know, and then even, you know, I'll challenge some of you that maybe there are certain things that you have taken a risk in the past, or you've become what used to be risky for you is actually kind of like a normal thing now because you did it enough and you practiced and you became skilled in that or whatever. And then you stop taking risks. No, why? I mean, every great thing that anyone accomplished in the Bible, you'll find how they had to take a risk, a huge risk.
In
because
life,
that's where ages. God is. I mean, God has called us to be nation shakers, each one of us. He's called us to change culture, to implement the culture of heaven, and you're not going to be able to do that without taking a risk. And so, you know, some people are just like, oh no, if God wanted me to do that, I mean, he would just make me do it. I'd have no control. I wouldn't even, you know, have to try to do anything. No, that's not even the way that the Lord works.
Not at all.
So all you have a choice, and so we're just telling you, push yourself.
Amen. And then the last thing. Let's hit the last thing here.
Okay.
Learn how to do things. Learn how to do things that add to your life. Learn how to do things from other people who know how to do them.
Right.
That will add to your life. Don't just keep doing what you've always known to do. Right. Don't just only do what your family knows how to do.
Right.
Add to your life some great things. There's some things that I know how to do that I learned how to do, and I just wanted to figure it out. I looked at it and was like, wow, that's pretty cool. How do you do that? And then you watch somebody, and then sometimes you can just tell somebody you're interested, and they'll say, well, come here, and I'll show you how to do that.
Right.
And again, a lot of things, until you're willing to take a risk,
mm-hmm.
you say, well, I don't want somebody to know I'm that dumb. I don't know how to do it. Well, take a risk. Let somebody know you're ignorant, okay? Not dumb, but you're ignorant. You don't know how to do something.
Each of us are ignorant in different areas.
All kinds
right.
of different areas.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I'm ignorant in. I don't know squat about many things. But things that I have interest in, I don't just want to go like, wow, I would have, you know, I'm 90 years old. I really wish I would have learned how to do this. Well, why didn't you? It's not like you didn't have enough time on the earth. Okay. You've been around for 90 years.
You weren't very disciplined with your time.
Well, why didn't you? Well, and because people say, I just don't have time.
That's
well, I found
true.
Out that you make time for things that you want to do.
Right.
You do. And so if you really want something, if you really want to achieve something, if you want to do something, if you want to be something, you put yourself into it and learn how to do it. And that will increase the value of your life. If to nobody else, it'll increase the value of your life to yourself.
Right.
And you're like, wow, I really like my life, you know?
Yeah.
Why? Because I've learned a lot. I've experienced a lot. Why? Because I took some risks, and I was willing to be humble at whatever age and to learn something new.
Right.
Your mom went into nursing and...
she was 60, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, she.
I mean, that's amazing to me.
For a long time, right, in the medical field, but then she just decided that she wanted to go to nursing school, and so she, you know, most of the
60 years old.
Yeah, most of the ladies in there doing it were like, you know, early 20s.
Sure.
And so for her, and I remember her learning, and of course, this has been now over 20 years ago. And so that was really when she was, you know, really learning, like, even about texting and everything. That was a new thing. But I mean, she just mm-hmm. embraced it all. And I mean, having to study very, you know, hard and still working and all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't that, you know, well, she had to because she had to survive financially or anything. She just decided, no, this is, I really actually found that I really enjoy this, and I want to be able to learn, and I want to be able to become an RN. And so she did that. And then now, you know, she still is working after retiring twice or three times. I'm trying to remember, but she keeps going back just because she loves it so much.
She gets bored if she's not doing something.
Yes. And I mean, she has a whole bunch of, you know, hobbies. She's very social. So you can imagine she is like, you know, super, you know, active and everything, which really that in and of itself adds so much to her life. All the, absolutely, again, the relationships and what she's doing. It's just, we were created to produce and we're created to be active, whether you're male or female, race, what doesn't even matter. That's what we were created to do. And so when you try to operate outside of that, then you have issues that hold you back physically. And especially these days, mentally, a lot, mm-hmm, people deal with anxiety and depression and all, you know, low self-esteem, not feeling worthy, you know, all these kind of things that actually, if you put your hand to something and you give the Lord something to prosper and to work with, and you're learning new things and you're engaging your brain, you're making your mind work at a different way, at a higher level than it has had to previously, actually, these things are so beneficial to you. And just to be out, you were not meant, again, to just be alone by yourself or, you know, anything disconnected from people. And, you know, one of the reasons why dressing is because that's kind of a way, actually, of a lot of the younger ones now.
Yeah.
That's sort of what they resort to. And especially they do, you know, everything online, school and, you know, everything. But, you know, we've just seen, you know, through, so regardless of your age, you don't ever stop learning new things. You don't ever stop, you know, expanding yourself and doing new things. And if you might say, well, you know, I'm not so interested in that, can you please teach someone younger than you what you already know then in areas?
Yeah.
Because if you're not taking that in yourself, you should be giving out. Mm-hmm. And if you're like, well, nobody wants what I have, listen, you've got to get out then. That means that you're inside too much if you, and just by yourself too much, okay? Don't fall for the lie of the enemy, okay? You need to get out and find where you can actually be a blessing. I know even, you know, I have a stepmother. She is a mayor of, in Alaska, of her borough, which is like a county, another word for a county, but the borough is actually the size of the state of West Virginia. So we're not talking about a small area. And she's 81 or 82 years old.
Yeah.
And she's actually getting ready to run again. And so, and she loves it because that's how she serves people, is through that. And I mean, she really has the heart of the people.
And
so they love her
person.
So much. Yes. And she's always going to all different types of, you know, ribbon cutting events and all types of things. So I'm so thankful for these two amazing godly women that I have as my mother and stepmother that are great examples, you know, for me. So age should not be a limitation. And both of them have walked through some challenging things at different times, even regarding,
their,
you know,
health
and, you know, different things, and really had to believe God for healing. But you know what? The Lord's hand is not short towards you just because you've excelled in years or anything like that. And just understand that the more that you stay active, the more it's going to help you, and the longer 100%. You stay active.
100%. But back to the topic, what would we do differently if we were 25? We would learn how to do more things. Okay. Now I stepped out pretty young and started taking the risks and doing stuff. I constantly pushed myself out of my comfort zone. I didn't add this one on my list on the list there. But I can tell you it is 100% an important thing. Push yourself beyond your comfort zone into things that you do not know, and learn.
Absolutely.
Learn things.
Absolutely.
Things that you say, I'm not qualified for that. So what? Who says you're not qualified?
Right.
So you try it anyway. Apply anyway. A lot of the things that I started doing, I had no qualifications for, but you know what? I had a heart to do it.
Right.
And I want to tell you, that means so much.
Yes.
Don't be content with doing the minimal. That's the problem with many people, many young people, is they settle for the minimum.
Right.
This is what's the least I can do.
And still get the benefit.
Yeah, and still do a little something. It's just like, go big. Find a way to stretch yourself, stretch your abilities. Don't settle for something easy. Please don't settle for something easy. Do the difficult thing.
Right.
Go for it. Add something significant to your life. You can do something small, maybe, or more something that isn't all that if you are still have a goal and you're striving towards a bigger goal. And so let's just say you're wanting to have your own business, and so you're in the process of developing things so you can have your business, and that might take a while. And so while you're doing that, you're working another job that is not exactly what you want to do, but you're not dependent upon that always being the only thing that you do. You have your eyes on something greater. And actually, in the time when you're not working the smaller job, you are setting your goals for bigger things, and you're striving to do that so that you can leave the small thing and you can go big into what God has really put inside of your heart. And so learn how to do these things. Learn how to add to your life in a significant way. Learn how to learn from people who have experience and who have done significant things and say, hey, I would love to learn something from you. Would you mind teaching me what you know?
Yes.
And actually, experienced people really don't mind teaching somebody else what they know if they've got the heart to do it.
Right, right.
And I don't mind. Sure. I don't mind helping train younger leaders until I see slack.
Right.
When I see undisciplined people, mm-hmm. that is like, okay, forget it.
Right.
No, I'm wasting my time to do right. this because I can tell already you're not gonna be any.
Implement
you're not gonna
that.
Be you yeah. know going for it with that.
Right.
And honestly, I can see that.
Right.
And then at other times, I'll see somebody who. Really, they don't know what to do, but in them, God will show me this is a significant person, and this is the person who's going to succeed. And so I'll pull them aside. Hey, let me help you. Let me talk to you. Let me impart some things to you. And we need more disciplined people in the body of Christ that will help teach others how to succeed in great ways.
Right.
And so find these young men, find these young women that they need more added to their lives, and help them in a great way.
Yes, absolutely. So good.
Amen.
It really brings back blessing to your own life.
It will.
And such joy, really.
Because as you water, you're going to be watered yourself.
Yes. So
great
true.
Things.
So true.
Well, we're going to wrap it up here with this particular section of not section necessarily.
This topic
of
hopefully it's been helpful.
Yeah,
to you.
What I would do if I was 25 again, and so anyway, we may have some more interesting things to come at you here with, but we always have something going on. So anyway, thank you so much for listening to the Last Days podcast. We love you. God bless you. Hope you have an absolutely amazing day.
Yes. Bye-bye. Love you. Bye bye.
Hey, this is Dr. Todd Holmes, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, whether it was myself or my amazing wife, Katie, maybe the two of us together. If you want to be more than just an occasional listener and desire to really stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, go to riveroftricities.com. That's riveroftricities.com, and click on Donate to be a part of the Last Days Army of monthly partners that we're taking ground with. If you'd like to do that, I would like to send you a special gift for partnering with us. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you.